So I am very honored to be asked to give a class on the special appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Sri Advaita Acharya is a, well, most magnanimous, very great personality in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And surely I am not worthy to speak on its glories. However, I'm hoping that by speaking its glories, I will become purified, and in turn, you may become purified by hearing. I think the nicest part of giving a class is actually preparing for it. So for the past couple of days, I've been absorbed and immersed in reading the pastimes of Sri Advaita Acharya. So we will begin with this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Adi Lila, first, number one, text 13. Translation. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Bhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Nam Sajivam Sadvaita Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunata Shri Vishakam Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopeka Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Stute Devi Ripriye Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashakta Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Mukham karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yakripa tamaham vande shri gurundinatarinam jai jai shri chaitanya jaya nityananda jai advaita chandra daya gaura bhakta vrinda jai jai shri chaitanya jaya nityananda jai advaita chandra jaya gaura bhakta vrinda jai jai shri chaitanya jaya nityananda jai advaita chandra jaya gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna. Thank you. So as stated here, Advaita Acharya, he is actually an elder of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaita, it means non-dual. So it means he is non-different. It says here he is non-different from Hari. And Acharya, because he preached the cult of bhakti. So when we chant the mantra, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared as the absolute truth in five features. So when we chant the mantra, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Sarupakam Bhaktyavatara Bhaktyakam Nam Bhaktashaktikam. We chant that mantra every day. So this is the manifestation of the absolute truth in five features. we have right here, Panchatattva, Bhakta Sarupakam, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. We have, Bhakta Rupa is Lord Chaitanya. Bhakta Swarupakam is his expansion as Lord Nityananda. Bhakta Avatar, Sri Advaita Acharya, he is the incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. And Bhakta Akyam, incarnation of a devotee, who is Shiva's Pandit. And Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of the energy of the Lord, Sri Gadadhar. So Advaita Acharya actually was born 50 years before the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He actually departed 25 years after the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lived for 125 years. 125 years. He was actually a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya's guru is Sri Ishwara Puri, who is also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So Advaita Acharya was actually like a god uncle to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was an elder, and he was also his guru's godbrother. So he was obviously very, very respected. Now, if we think of Madhavendra Puri as the seed of the tree of bhakti, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the trunk, and then the two branches, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya. So Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all non-different from Krishna. They are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. Whereas Srivas Pandit and Gadadhar, they are not the absolute, they are not the Godhead. So, we worship him today because he is non-different from Krishna. He is non-different. He is actually Mahavishnu. And as we know, Mahavishnu is, in charge of the creation. Not Mahavishnu directly is creating through his expansions, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. So he is not only in charge of the creation, but he comes down himself to actually deliver the living entities from this material world. So he not only creates the material world, but he actually comes down to help the devotees through Sri Harinam Sankirtan how to get out of this material world. So we're going to talk a little bit today about his birth, about the environment that was there in Navadweep at the time, about his petitioning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend, some of the pastimes of Sri Advaita Acharya, and also some of the lessons that we can learn from his life. And I'd like to also share with you a little bit about Srila Prabhupada and his prayers and desires at the home of Sri Advaita Acharya to be empowered to spread this Sankirtan movement to the Western world. So we know that Sri Advaita Acharya is actually very, very auspicious personality. He is very merciful and very compassionate upon all of us souls. So he was born in Navagram near Sylhet, and that is in Bangladesh. I don't know if anyone has ever been there. No. But later he was born to Kuvera Pandit, and his mother was Nabi Devi, and his name at birth was Kamalaksha Bhattacharya. So he later got married. His wife was Sita Thakurani, who we hear about and celebrate her appearance as well, because she was a great personality. Actually, at the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sita Thakurani came with so many beautiful gifts for Lord Chaitanya. And she saw the effulgence of this beautiful child and said, he is non-different from Krishna, but just golden in color. So Advaita Acharya actually had two wives, Sita Thakurani and Sri Devi. It was a custom then to have two wives. And he also had six sons, one of whom became also a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he spent a lot of time, because Navagram was actually quite far from Mayapur, like 340 miles. But Shantipur, has anyone been to Shantipur? You have been to Shantipur. I have never been to Shantipur. Mother Moksha has been to Shantipur. Shantipur is only about 17 miles from Mayapur. And he also used to frequent Navadvip because, of course, Navadvip was the center of all learning. And actually, Advaita Acharya, he studied in, when he was younger, he studied under the tutelage of, I can't remember the name of who he studied under, but he achieved the title of Acharya because he was actually a very, very great scholar. So in Navadvip at that time, well, Navadvip used to be the center of bhakti, lots of devotion, but over time it degenerated. And so during the time that Advaita Acharya was in Navadvip, there was lots of impersonalism, lots of sense gratification. There was very dry learning, worship of demigods. It was very dry, speculative philosophy, grammar, that kind of thing. But Advaita Acharya, he had a school, and he used to give lessons to all his students and disciples on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But he would give a very clear purport of bhakti, right? He would give a very clear purport of bhakti. And he felt very compassionate, because although he was delivering all his students, he was feeling very troubled about all the other, all the other people of Navadvip that were not being able to get the clear message of bhakti and were struggling. So, of course, we know the story, we've seen the picture, and we've heard the story of how Sri Advaita Acharya sat on the bank of the Ganga and he worshipped his Shalagram, not just with water, Ganga Jal, from the Ganga, but with Tulsi Maharani. And he prayed intensely because even though he is an incarnation of Vishnu, he came as a devotee, so he felt like he could not deliver these people himself. It says he prayed so intensely, sometimes he roared, and he prayed fervently and chanted for many, many days for the Lord to come himself. He pleaded, please, you come yourself and deliver these people. And that sound traveled, they say it traveled so far that it reached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who 13 months later appeared on the full moon, the eclipse of the full moon, and with the devotees chanting Hari Hari. And he wanted him to come through the vehicle of the Harinam Sankirtan to inaugurate this chanting of Hare Krishna. So, you know, the Lord is very, very merciful. And when we chant and pray in a way with sincerity, then Krishna reciprocates, not just with us. He's waiting to see our love, our commitment, our sincerity. But for some personality like Sri Advaita Acharya, of course the Lord will appear personally. But even for lay and fallen devotees as we are, we can chant with our hearts open with sincerity and know that we have a relationship with Krishna. And as much as we approach Krishna, he will reciprocate with us. So Sri Advaita Acharya had this school, and Vishvarupa, who was the older brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to come to the school and was very enlivened to hear the lessons and the beautiful messages of devotion and the wonderful shastra and purports of Sri Advaita Acharya. And then one day he heard his parents talking about his marriage, because in those days they would, you know, marry people quite young. and so he actually left home. Vishvarupa, he left home, renounced, and he never looked back. He just left home without a word. You can imagine the grief his parents felt. Sachimata and Jagannath Mitra, they were heartbroken. And when Vishvarupa used to go to the school, Nimai Pandit would come and bring a lunch pack for his older brother. And when Sri Advaita Acharya first saw this little boy, Nimai, he was struck with the beauty of this little boy. But he didn't yet know that this was actually the Supreme Personality himself. So Mother Sachi was so troubled that Vishvarupa had gone through the lessons that Sri Advaita Acharya had taught, that she said to Nimai, you can't go anymore. So, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nimai Pandit, he did go, and yeah. So, Mother Sachi, Nimai eventually revealed himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, the devotees used to gather at Sri Vasangam. And I don't know how many of you have been to Sri Vasangam. I know you have definitely been. Sri Vasangam is a place where the Panchatapa would gather for their kirtans, for their glorious kirtan. And it's an incredibly powerful place, isn't it? Incredibly powerful place when you go there. So they would go mad in ecstasy, chanting and dancing at Sri Vasangam. It was the home of Shivas. And one time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, filled with ecstasy, he revealed his identity and he was giving out love of Krishna and prema. And the devotee said, oh, please give Mother Sachi also your mother. And he goes, oh, no. She has committed an offense at Sri Advaita Acharya. She has committed an offense because she told me I cannot go. Of course, at that point, I think he was married to Lakshmi Priya, so she was worried as well that he was going to leave his wife and go off and become renounced. So Mother Sachi, she went immediately to the feet of Advaita Acharya and she begged forgiveness. You know, please forgive me for my offense. And of course, Advaita Acharya, he forgave her. So some of his wonderful pastimes, of course, the pastimes of the Panchatattva, some of them are hard to understand. Advaita Acharya, he was, as I mentioned, he was the elder of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many years older, 52 years older than him, and he was his god uncle. So, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always offer respects. We say Advaita Acharya is our Acharya. He is one of our Acharyas in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he's his elder, because he considered himself a servant of the Lord. So that's why he is in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Advaita Acharya would always offer respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one day he thought, he thought up a plan. So in his school, he started to preach Mayavad philosophy. And, you know, aham brahmasmi, we are all God and all this kind of thing. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he immediately came and he started beating Advaita Acharya with a stick. And Sita Thakurani said, what are you doing? Are you going to kill this old man? And Sri Advaita Acharya was dancing in ecstasy, saying, aha, the master can beat the servant. but the servant can't beat the master. So now it is very clear that Sri Advaita, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my master because he is beating me. So in this way, he was in ecstasy. We can't really, it's hard to understand the loving relationships, and we can't really compare it to mundane kind of relationships. However, sometimes when we witness relationships amongst devotees, here they're called loving mock quarrels. So just like when we have a close relationship with someone, a close loving relationship, just like me and Mother Moksha, we have a familiar relationship, so sometimes we criticize each other, or we, you know, at each other's expense, we'll make a joke. It's all done in fun and love, isn't it, Moksha? And sometimes when you witness the loving exchanges between devotees, it's unexplicably kind of hard to understand, but beautiful to witness. Many years ago, I had the good fortune of visiting Mother Yamuna and her god-sister Dinatarine at their home in Sharanagati. And I used to watch the exchanges they had, because they were very advanced devotees of Krishna. And I used to watch their loving exchanges and how they would, you know, mock and tease each other. So these are beautiful loving exchanges between devotees. So Sri Advaita and Nityananda often also had these loving quarrels. And I'm not talking about quarrels between man, husband and wife. No. But these are, you know, transcendental loving quarrels. So once, when all the devotees were having prasadam, Nityananda Prabhu, he took some prasadam and he threw it at Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya said, "Oh, he is an avadut. He is so rude. He does not understand etiquette. He has offended me by making me unclean." So, Nityananda Prabhu said, "Oh, you don't understand. Maha Prasadam, it can never be contaminated, even if a dog touches it." So they had this little banter between them. It was all done with love. And then once during the Rath Yatra festival, at the time of the Rath Yatra festival, the devotees were all cleaning the temples, the Gundicha Marja. They were all cleaning all the temples. And afterwards, they all went to take bath in the Indradumna Sarovara. And they were all having water fights. So we all know how much fun it is to have water fights. And these water pastimes, of course, the devotees all lived by the Ganga and the Yamuna. Krishna also sported in the water, so these water fights are so much fun. But Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, they started to have a water fight. And of course, Nityananda Prabhu defeated Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya, he, you know, started to tell him off, call him bad names, and this was the nature of their loving exchanges. So Advaita Acharya, he was also very friendly with Haridas Thakur, because they were more of a similar age. Haridas Thakur, he used to frequent Shantipur, and they would, you know, spend many hours chanting and talking Krishna Katha. So Advaita Acharya, because he was a very, you know, pakka householder, he would perform the Shraddha ceremony for the relatives and all that. And at that time, you invite all the Brahmins to come and take prasadam. And you also ask one chief Brahmin to come. So Advaita Acharya, he asked Haridas Thakur to please come. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. So he asked Haridas Thakur to come and be the chief guest at the Shraddha ceremony. And Haridas Thakur said, "How can you ask me? I am from a Yavana family. how can I, you will be criticized by all the Brahmins. And Advaita Acharya said, oh, no, 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 I am strictly following the Vedic injunctions, the injunctions of the Shastras. By feeding you as the chief Brahmin, it is like you are so pure. By feeding you, it is like feeding hundreds and thousands of Brahmins. So what I'm doing is correct. And and so in that way, they had a very, very beautiful, beautiful relationship. So, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the life of Sri Advaita Acharya? So I was thinking about this. What are the lessons for us in his life? So Sri Advaita Acharya was actually an ideal householder. He was married, and yet he was not just a guru, but he was an acharya. So for many, many of the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, many of us will get married. Some of us will take to renunciation, but many of us will get married. And here it's showing that, you know, not despite being married, but along with being married and fulfilling all his responsibilities of a grihastha, he was also a guru and an acharya. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Jagannath Puri, Sri Advaita Acharya, he used to go and spend 4 months with him. But he didn't stay with him, like some of the renounced, brahmacharis and that, they would stay with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Advaita Acharya continued to preach and to teach and to carry on with the Harinam Sankirtan. So, it's a lesson for us all, because Srila Prabhupada said that we can all become guru. Each and every one of us can become guru. We won't become acharya, because Srila Prabhupada, he is our acharya, he is our founder acharya. But as long as we follow the instructions of our guru and repeat the lessons that he has taught us, I was reading the other day in the end of the fifth canto that Srila Prabhupada was saying, as long as we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, not only hear it, but then we repeat the messages to others to propagate the message of bhakti. So these are the words, some of the words of Srila Prabhupada. He says, so try to follow the path of acharya process, then life will be successful. And to become acharya is not very difficult. First of all, to become very faithful servant of your acharya, follow strictly what he says. Try to please him and spread Krishna consciousness. That's all. It is not at all difficult. Try to follow the instruction of your Guru Maharaj and spread Krishna consciousness. That is the order of Lord Chaitanya. By following my order, you become guru. So you can all become guru. Just by sharing Krishna with others, you become like a guru, isn't it? So that is one lesson. Another thing I was thinking, you know, here at Bhaktivedanta Matter, we have such elaborate worship, and this is the worship and the standard that Srila Prabhupada set in all our temples. When you ever go to an ISKCON temple around the world, there is the most amazing worship. I know in some temples, like in the Los Angeles temple, they actually change the deities 3 times a day. And they've maintained that standard throughout the pandemic, with devotees becoming ill, devotees departing, right? And here at Bhaktivedanta Matter, we also maintain the standard despite whatever happens. Even during the pandemic, all the devotees, they all chipped in, isn't it, to ensure that the worship carried on. But Sri Advaita Acharya, he worshipped very, very simply. He worshipped his shalagram simply with Tulsi Maharani and Gangajal. So it's not like in our homes we have to have elaborate worship. Some people do, but also Srila Prabhupada, he actually stressed that within our communities, the main temple, the main shrine, should be our focus.
So at home, like in my home, I don't have deities, but I have an installed photo of Sri Panchatattva that we have been worshiping for over 30 years. We worship them simply with an offering every day, an aarti, and of course, the magic ingredient is prayer. So the simple worship and the prayer, the power that we have over the Lord through our prayer, you know, Krishna is very kind. He is Bhaktivatsala. So he is very kind to his devotees. So if we pray with love and sincerity, then we can, although Advaita Acharya prayed for the Lord's appearance, we can pray for the Lord to enter into our hearts. We can pray that we can see Krishna within our lives. We can see Krishna's magic, you know, within our dealings in our day-to-day lives. We can see Krishna's presence there. So it's all about the sincerity of our prayers. Krishna reciprocates with us, but, you know, we all go through lots of challenges in life, lots of trials and tribulations. And for each and every one of us, you may think somebody's trials are more than yours or somebody's aren't as bad as yours. But Krishna gives us whatever challenges he knows we can pass. And, you know, he wants to see that through those challenges that we actually really take shelter of Krishna. I know so many devotees, God sisters actually, who have experienced the most incredible challenges in their lives. And it's just been so inspiring to see how they have actually really cried out to Krishna, really cried out to Krishna for understanding and a loving relationship with him. So this is something we can learn from Advaita Acharya, that we can cry out to Krishna every day, because Kali Yuga is not getting easier. It's only getting more intense, isn't it? For those devotees who are out on the street, or if you listen to the news, I mean, it's just actually shocking how the material world, how quickly it's getting degraded, how quickly our leaders are becoming more and more degraded. So it can affect us in life. And, you know, we simply need to cry out to Krishna, and Krishna will appear to us. So also what we learned from Advaita Acharya, because he actually prayed for Lord Chaitanya to come and deliver the fallen souls through the medium of Harinam Sankirtan. So this is about the power of the holy name, the power of the holy name. So he was the one who so intensely desired Lord Chaitanya to come and deliver through this Harinam, through this very, very simple process of chanting Hare Krishna. And it's because of Advaita Acharya that we are sitting here today and chanting Hare Krishna. Because he was the one who prayed for the Lord, for the Lord's mercy to come down in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the holy name, and Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. So we've all been blessed by the mercy of Advaita Acharya, directly and indirectly, and we should take advantage of his mercy, especially on this particular day, which is the appearance of Sri Advaita Acharya. We should serve him with great love and affection, because if it were not for him, we would not be sitting here today. If it were not for Srila Prabhupada, we would not be sitting here today in this whole great parampara. It just reminds me, actually, when I used to go on the streets of Sankirtan, before we approached even the first person, we would just simply pray for the mercy. We go, Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Sri Advaita Chandra, Jai Advaita Chandra, Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. We would pray and pray that we would get the blessings of the parampara. And we would actually meditate that they were all there watching us on the field of Sankirtan. They were witnessing our activities and showering flower petals on us. So, this is a really wonderful thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaitacharya, they used to meet in Shantipur, and they used to discuss about the Sankirtan mission, you know, make plans, and, you know, just like the Sankirtan devotees making plans, where do we go, and which town should we, every town and village, which town should we go to next? So, many years ago, in 1980, one of the long time pujaris of the Shantipur, he was a pujari and also a caretaker of this ashram in Shantipur, where I believe, I'm not sure, but I have read that the Shalagram Shilas that Advaita Acharya worshipped are still there. They keep them hidden. You said you'd been there. Did you? No, you haven't been there. Has anyone been there, Shantipur? No. Yes. Do you know? Wow. Oh, maybe. Incredible. So this pujari, he came to Mayapur in 1980, and he had with him a magazine, a Back to Godhead magazine, and there was an article in there of Srila Prabhupada called A Lifetime in Preparation, about, you know, his mission. So he spoke to the devotees, and he explained how many, he had been the pujari at this Shantipur ashram, in the 1940s and the 1950s. And he described how this Grihastha devotee used to come and sit at the back of the temple and chant Hare Krishna very, very intently. And he used to come regularly, maybe once or twice a month. And he would sit at the back. And when he would leave, he would thank the pujari, you know, thank you very much. But this pujari noticed also that he had tears in his eyes when he would be chanting. So there was a long time, a gap, that he didn't come. And then in 1965, he saw a sannyasi sitting at the back of the temple room again, chanting Hare Krishna. But this time he could see he was just flooding, more than before, just flooding, his eyes filled with tears. And when he looked at him, he recognized, he said, oh, he is the same one that used to come many, many years ago. So he went up to him and he said, excuse me, Maharaj, but who are you? And this was Srila Prabhupada. He said, I am A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. I am an unworthy disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, I have come here because tomorrow I am getting on a ship from Calcutta. My spiritual master has given me the impossible task of bringing this message of bhakti to the Western world. And I'm feeling so unworthy and so incapable. So I am coming here and praying very intensely that I will get the blessings of Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu, that I could fulfill this mission. So it was many years later, that was in 1965, and it was many years later that devotees, white Western devotees, came to Shantipur, to this temple. And so the pujari, you know, saw these Western devotees, and they gave him this Back to Godhead magazine. And he came to Mayapur in 1980 to share with the devotees. He could not believe that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he had fulfilled the order of his guru, his spiritual master, and he had become successful in spreading this mission throughout the Western world. So it was through the power and the shakti and the blessings of Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the whole of the Panchatattva, that Srila Prabhupada was blessed, and we are very blessed to get their mercy and his mercy, and that we are here, sitting here today. So we have only great thanks and gratitude to our parampara and the whole of the Panchatapa. Shri Advaita Acharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I don't know if anyone has any other nectar or any other words of wisdom or any stories concerning Shri Advaita Acharya. Yes, Adkinchana Devi Dasi. Can we have the microphone? Yeah.
Thank you very much. Works now. Thank you very much for the very beautiful presentation that you've made this morning. Really nice. I would like to add to your list of lessons that we can
Is it on? Is the thing on?
It's on.
Just speak.
Okay. I would like to add one more thing to the lessons
definitely.
That we draw from today's presentation, and that's being personal. So when you shared those exchanges, they were very personal exchanges. So that's another lesson that we can draw from today's presentation, is being personal.
Thank you so much. That is so valuable. And this is the wonderful thing about bhakti yoga and, you know, the loving exchanges that we have with each other. I was telling someone the other day, someone who's very, very new to Krishna consciousness, and she was having a little house, you know, little ceremony for her house. And some of her friends were coming, and they were all from different faiths. Friends from university and this, and they were bringing her gifts, and she was like, oh, no. And I'm like, this is so beautiful that it is part of the process of bhakti that we receive gifts, we exchange gifts, we reveal our mind, all these beautiful loving exchanges, and the way we are very personal with each other. It's at the heart of bhakti, isn't it? Which is why it is such a wonderful process. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Another, yes, Prayojana Prabhu. Can you pass the microphone?
I wanted to share with you an experience that we had in the mid-90s, maybe, where Mother Guru Charanapadma invited us, and Kripa Moy invited us as a Namahat group from the Isle of Wight to their house. And she was demonstrating about the cooking and worshipping. It came to my mind is that actually she's following the order of her spiritual master, and that helping the neophytes that we were and still are, some of us, that listening to this nectar and hearing about Krishna consciousness, that actually we were experiencing what Mother Guru was passing on to us about Advaita Acharya, that actually she was another... She is another instrument on behalf of her spiritual master. And it was a wonderful experience just being there at that house. I'll always remember it, always, being completely enthused by it and showing us about all home worship and everything. And it's a personal thank you.
Oh,
really.
Well, I have to personally say that I don't actually remember that.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, you're older than me and I think your memory's better than me.
Yeah.
But what I can say, it's one of those cases where, you're the elder and I am offering obeisances to you because it's one of those cases where the student jumps way above the teacher. So thank you for those kind words, but I am totally inspired because, you know, I've seen Prayojana's journey, you know, from a grihastha, you know, working and carrying out his family responsibilities to renouncing everything and coming to live at a ripe old age to Bhaktivedanta Manor and just seeing his dedication, his, I'm going to get tearful now, but totally inspired by your commitment, your dedication, your enthusiasm to speak about Krishna, to give class. And whenever I meet him, whether it's in the shoe room or on a walk or, you know, wherever we meet, he's always got some Krishna katha to share. I think that's a lesson for us all. Whoever you meet, try and uplift them all just a little bit, even if it's at a very basic level. But try to share with them something to, you know, elevate, make them feel a bit happier and come a little, tiny little bit closer. So thank you so much, Prayojana Prabhu. Hare Krishna. It's been a joy to see your progression in Krishna consciousness. Very inspiring. Cyrus.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for invoking the mood of Advaita Acharya and him being such a meek servant that he is and was. But I wanted to get to the juice a bit, if I may say. Did he, because I can't recall any pastimes of his where he revealed his identity? And I'd like to hear something about that. If you have anything
well,
to share.
I mean, in my study of the life of Advaita Acharya, I read of one instance where Advaita Acharya hid at the home of Nandanacharya. He hid at the home of Nandanacharya. And he told his servant, Ramai, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Advaita Acharya knew he was the personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was also, you know, kind of playing these kind of little rasa thing, you know. So Advaita Acharya hid, and then Lord Chaitanya said to Ramai, go and fetch Advaita Acharya at the home of Nandanacharya. So he actually knew that he was where he was hiding. And so Advaita Acharya was so amazed also. It was like, okay, I'm convinced now he's God because he had hidden and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew exactly where he was. So that was something that convinced him of his identity. Other than what I shared at the home of Srivastacharya, I don't know if Vishwambhar Prabhu, if you know any other pastime where how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu you're talking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed Cyrus Prabhu? You're talking about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his identity, yeah. No? Anyone? His identity as the Supreme... No, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his identity as the Lord? Is that what you're asking? Yeah. Not Advaita Acharya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yeah. We need to... he didn't reveal himself as Mahavishnu. No.
Sorry, is there a misunderstanding? I was talking about Advaita Acharya.
Oh, Advaita Acharya.
Yes.
He didn't reveal himself as Mahavishnu. I mean, he is just known. He is an incarnation of Mahavishnu.
That's interesting because his meekness strikes me.
His meekness?
Yes.
Yeah,
because to live for 120 years and to keep your identity like that intact,
yeah,
without revealing it, is quite
well.
Quite
he revealed it through the potency of his teachings, and because he was the Lord in the incarnation of a devotee, he had the mood also of a devotee, of a servant. So he was actually Vishnu Tattva, but he was in the mood in this Panchatattva manifestation as a devotee. So he was very meek and humble and very compassionate.
That's a lesson I take from this.
Wonderful. Thank you. Sankirtan Priya Prabhu.
Krishnamurti, thank you. Just to clarify that point on the Vrindavan website, it says all glories to Sri Advaita Acharya and the incarnation of Sadashiva and Mahavishnu.
Yeah, Sadashiva as well. But I didn't dwell on that because I didn't understand that so much. Ian. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. You spoke a few times about how Sri Advaita Acharya, you know, had this intense mood of prayer, this very powerful, prayerful mood. And you also spoke about how when you'd go out on Sankirtan, you know, you'd also have this intensity of prayer, you know, for the blessings. And I just wanted to ask if you might have any tips or anything that you can share with us, because maybe I speak for myself. Prayer is not something that, you know, we just think about. I think about chanting more, reading or following, you know, like the basic things, but how we can, any tips on how we can use prayer as a way to kind of get us to be more connected, and mm-hmm. any advice that you can give just based on that.
Thank you, Ian. Well, I feel that you're very, very connected, because I just recently was somewhere at someone's home that had come here for the 7-day challenge, and they kept going on about an Ian and Ian this and it. And he was so inspired. He was like, I want to go on Harinam Sankirtan. And so your prayers are very potent, but I think it's all in the chanting of our japa. I mean, not all in the chanting of our japa, but that is some of the essence, that when we chant our japa, try to chant our japa without offense and purely and in the early morning hours in a very focused way, we connect and, or we get a glimpse of connecting, or we get a moment or a spark of connecting. But it's certainly a recipe for becoming empowered. An empowered preacher is to chant very sincerely and in a very focused way, praying to become an instrument. I just constantly pray to become an instrument that I can somehow, Krishna will empower me to give share some of this wonderful gift that we've given with others. So I think that is the order of our guru, if we want to become gurus, because Srila Prabhupada very much, I mean, because I know, like, when you get to my age as well, and I'm kind of, you know, you kind of, it's almost like I'm aging, and I just want to be saging now. I just want to be reading and chanting and this and that. But you know, the message of our guru was to propagate this message to others, to go out and share. So I'm trying to get off my backside, not be complacent. I mean, even giving class today was a challenge for me, but I'm doing it because my spiritual master, you know, has asked that we share. So, you know, we have to not be, give up our complacency. And, if we actually accept the challenges of trying to share with whoever we meet some spiritual wisdom, we will feel the empowerment and the mercy of our guru. So we will pray like that to become instruments in Krishna's and Srila Prabhupada's service and become gurus. I'm only a Guru Charanapama Dasi. I am a servant. I'm trying to be a servant of my guru.
Thank you for the
Smara Hari Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. That's just a humble thought. Another way to get Advaita Acharya's mercy is also to pray for others on this day, because that's what's his.
That's a wonderful lesson. Let's not pray for ourselves, as Sri Advaita Acharya did. He prayed for others. And yeah, I think sometimes when I'm in the most beautiful kirtan, I raise my hands up in the air. You know, sometimes when you're in an incredible kirtan, and I raise my hands up in the air, and I just kind of want to share it, and I think of devotees who may be devotees, family members, whoever, who may be struggling, and I pray that this sound vibration and the potency of the holy name will reach them and heal their hearts and help them. So that's just such a beautiful point. Thank you so much, Mahari Prabhu, that we pray for others, not just be selfish and pray for our own salvation.
I'm sorry, can you? Sorry, I can't hear. I'm getting hard of hearing.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Chait.
There's a pastime where Advaita Acharya became Mahavishnu. And Lord Chaitanya was on his, riding on him. So Lord Advaita Acharya, he was riding on Mahavishnu, one of the Narendra Sarova. So Advaita Acharya did reveal his identity.
He revealed?
Yeah.
Can you tell us? Because I can't hear so well. But you're saying Advaita Acharya revealed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So can you tell us? Because you're more well-read than I am.
This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. One yeah. time there was a pastime there.
Yeah.
Lord Chaitanya told Advaita Acharya, I want to ride in this lake. Can you?
He lay down in the lake?
Can you lay down for me? And he became Mahavishnu, and then Lord wow. Chaitanya was riding on him.
Wow. Do you know where that is in the Chaitanya?
I don't know. It's somewhere. I read it.
I believe you. If you read it.
also, there's another pastime also with Advaita Acharya. This is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Advaita Acharya told Lord Chaitanya that if someone worships you, I will glorify them. If they worship me without worshiping you, I will destroy them.
If they worship me without worshiping you, then
I will destroy them.
Oh.
So the pastime goes that if someone sees Lord Shiva as Vaishnava, then Lord Shiva will take them to Krishna. If someone thinks that Lord Shiva is equal to Krishna, then Lord Shiva will not accept that worship. He will destroy that person.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Yes, Akanchanabja Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to thank you, because something I'm going to take away from your class, which I found really, really interesting for me, was how you're talking about Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda having that really loving relationship, and how you also spoke personally about yourself and Mother Moksha having a very loving personal relationship. And because there is a loving personal relationship, we can have that banter. You're talking about these jokes. and sometimes we may have friends and have banter with each other and someone gets offended. And usually that offense is because there's not enough love. And you're speaking a lot about loving exchange and deep mm-hmm. love between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, and how you're mentioning yourself and Mother Moksha. So I just wanted to thank you, because it reminds me that even in, whether it's relationship with spouse or kids or friends, that if there's a lot of love, then it's okay. But if there's not enough love, then sensitivity and criticism and offense can...
Yes, we do have to be very... Thank you so much, Kanchanabja Prabhu. And I think, yeah, we do have to be very careful who we have this kind of banter with. Because offense, you know, to a devotee, of course, is the worst offense, mad elephant offense, and will destroy our bhakti creeper. So we have to be very... I think you kind of know when you're in a loving kind of... When you have a loving relationship with someone, you kind of know who you can have that kind of, you know, banter with, you know, where you kind of laugh and joke and, you know, tell each other off and, you know, slap each other. You know, it's a little bit like that, or, you know, it's just really, really beautiful. At the same time, I remember, you know, because I was talking about witnessing devotees, advanced devotees, I remember once, when we were on Parikram in Mayapur, Navadvip Dham, I think it was with Bhakti Chu Maharaj, Radhanath Swami. But when we would go to these temples and meet some of these very elevated Vaishnavas, and when I would see the way, it wasn't that kind of banter, but it was just pure love, the way the respect and love they showed to each other, you know, these wonderful personalities, advanced personalities from our lineage, you know, our gurus, and the way they interacted with these kind of great sages and bhaktis in that area, some of these temples who, you know, I remember that place. Anyway, there was this devotee there. He was like 100 years old. And every time the devotees, I can't remember his name, when they went there, he would do a feast for them. I don't know if he's still living now, but we went a few times. And he would feed all the Vaishnavas whenever ISKCON devotees would come. He was a very elderly gentleman, so pure-hearted. But when I saw these, gurus from our ISKCON, and the way the love and respect they showed, and I think also I've heard, like, when Radhanaswami visited South India, and it was like that, when you see contemporaries have this really beautiful reciprocal, it's just incredible to witness, actually. It opens up, just witnessing it opens up your heart as well. But yeah, you have to be careful, especially with husbands and wives. They get more offended. Shri Advaita Acharya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all for your kind attention and being very merciful to me. And for the beautiful sharing and offerings of wisdom and questions. Hari Bol.